Hello guys, so here I am with a case, I mean with a bunch of cases. Okay, let's go. The first case is prescribed drugs for a 35-year-old lady, adequately controlled for hypothyroidism and posted for surgery. So this lady is posted for surgery, like thyroidectomy. For thyroidectomy, she's actually hyperthyroid because of whatever reason, but she's posted to surgery, but you have to give certain medications before surgery in order to perform that surgery very well. So now this lady is having hyperthyroidism, which is of course adequately controlled. Now, what are the medications you prescribe for that person? So the yes, you're right. You give Lugol's iodine. So Lugol's solution, I'm sorry. So Lugol's solution consists of 5% iodine and 10% potassium iodine solution. So and 10 days before the surgery, 10 drops thrice daily orally. Now why do we give Lugol's iodine? We give this orally preoperatively before thyroidectomy and also in the thyroid storm. So this makes the gland form less vascular and also decrease its size, making the surgery convenient with less bleeding and complications. So along with Lugol's iodine, we also use iodate sodium and iponoic acid. So what we all can also use along with Lugol's solution, we can also use iponoic acid and iodate sodium. So that's the first case. And the second case is prescribed drugs for a student for travel sickness, planning to travel by flight for 24 hours. So for this person, we are going to prescribe hyoscine. Hyoscine is an atropine, it's not atropine substitute, but it's actually anticholinergic drug. So this hyoscine 0.3 mg transdermal patch applied over ear pinna at least 4 hours before starting journey. So this is important, like hyoscine transdermal patch applied over ear pinna at least 4 hours before starting journey, 0.3 mg. Next, prescribe drugs for a patient suffering from acute attack of gouty arthritis. So for this gouty you know about arthritis, right? Inflammation of the bone joints. So that's going to be very painful. So for this purpose, we are going to give NSAIDs. So cap endomethacin 50 milligrams for 1 week. And tab diclofenac or tab diclofenac 50 milligrams for 1 week. Along with it, we also give colchicine 0.5 mg for 4 days. Review after 1 week. Wait a minute and I'm going to tell you why colchicine is used in this case. So colchicine is actually an alkaloid and it is not analgesic nor uricosuric agent. Although it relieves pain in acute attack of gout, colchicine prevents release of chemotactic factors and inhibits migration of neutrophils to the affected area. It is administered either orally or intravenously. It is rapid acting but poorly tolerated. There are nausea, vomiting, diarrhea and abdominal pain with these colchicine, and also chronic use may lead to myopathy, alopecia, aplastic anemia and agranulocytosis. So colchicine is actually used, colchicine is an alkaloid. It's not any painkiller or anti-uricosuric drug, but anyway it relieves pain in acute attacks. So by preventing the release of chemotactic factors and inhibiting the migration of neutrophils to the affected area. So this is under the treatment of acute attack of gout. Okay, like we can use NSAIDs, colchicine and also glucocorticoids. But as this person, in this person, the case, in this case, we are using NSAIDs like indomethacin, 50 milligrams for 1 week, and or tab diclofenac, 50 milligrams for 1 week, and tab colchicine, 0.5 milligrams for 4 days. And the next case is prescribed drugs for chronic congestive glaucoma for an adult aging 40 years. So, chronic congestive glaucoma. For this person, we are going to use latanoprost, which is a prostaglandin analog, 0.005% drops for 1 month. And also timolol. Timolol is actually beta blocker. 1 drop in each eye twice daily, 0.25% for 1 month, review after 1 month. So in glaucoma, latanoprost is used because, let me tell you, latanoprost is a prostaglandin. Topical prostaglandins such as latanoprost, travoprost, and bimatoprost are the preferred agents for initial therapy in opalangeal glaucoma because of their longer duration of action, high efficacy, and low incidence of systemic toxicity. They are also useful in acute congestive glaucoma. They reduce intraocular pressure, probably by facilitating uveoscleral outflow. Latanoprost is also available in combination with timolol. They usually do not cause systemic side effects but may cause ocular irritation and iris pigmentation. And beta adrenergic blockers. Topical non-selective beta blockers are timolol, pitoxalol, levobunolol, cartiolol, metipronolol. Timolol is widely used in glaucoma because it lacks local anesthetic or partial agonistic properties, does not affect pupil size of accommodation, it has long duration of action, well tolerated, less. Less longer duration of action, well tolerated, less expensive. Topical timolol is safer and highly effective. Bitoxolol is a selective beta 1 blocker used in glaucoma but is less effective than non-selective agents. Bitoxolol is protective to retinal neurons. Levobunolol is long-acting. Beta blocker should be cautiously used in patients with bronchial asthma and heart failure. So that's why we use latanoprost 0.005% and timolol 0.2%. And next case, prescribed drugs for a woman with engorged breast with a history of death of newborn 1 week ago. So in this we are using cabergoline. But why are we using cabergoline? Cabergoline is actually an ergot derivative. Which is a dopamine receptor agonist. Thus, you know what? This dopamine, the one of the functions of dopamine is it inhibits the release of prolactin, so thus it stops the action of prolactin once after the baby, once after the milk production in the mother is unnecessary. So dopamine is thus important, but in this case where the baby or newborn is dead and the woman no more needs milk secretion because there's no baby. So in such cases the release of prolactin should be stopped because prolactin is the one which is causing this engorgement of the breast and milk production, all those things. So prolactin release have to be stopped, and for this purpose we are going to use dopamine agonist, that is cabergoline. The other drug which we use for this purpose is pergolide. Pergolide. So tap cabergoline 0.25 mg for 1 week. Next case. Prescribe for a case of acute myocardial infarction in a male patient aged 50 years. So myocardial infarction is very 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 various drugs are used for like symptomatic relief from pain or fibrinolytics or beta blockers for long-term therapy, various. So let us see one by one. Isosorbide mononitrate is actually a cardioglycoside, isosorbide mononitrate, along with the first thing is cardiac glycoside is glycerol trinitrate. So instead of that, we are using isosorbide mononitrate 10 milligrams sublingually. First, sublingually 10 milligrams isosorbide mononitrate, and then oxygen inhalation is important because at that infarction area oxygen will be very less leading to the infarction. For the purpose, oxygen supply is very important. Next, we are going to give metoprolol, some beta blocker, 5 mg IV every 5 minutes for 3 doses, and then we are giving morphine sulfate to actually decrease the pain, and then we are giving ornansetron. Yes, so serotonin, yeah, antagonist, I guess. I'll see why we are using ondansetron in MI. ఉక్తం తల్లి ondansetron is actually used as antiemetic. I know that, but I don't know why we are using it here. Ondansetron is 5-HT3 receptor antagonist. Antiemetic effect is mainly due to blockade of 5-HT3 receptors on vagal afferents in the gut. In addition, they also blocks 5-HT3 receptors in CTZ and solitary tract nucleus. And okay, the important thing is we want the uses of ondansetron. So these serotonin antagonists are the most effective agents for prevention and treatment of chemotherapy. What? Sorry, chemotherapy induced nausea and vomiting. They are effective for prevention and control of acute phase vomiting following chemotherapy. Chemotherapy induces nausea and vomiting. For this purpose, we can usually use this ondansetron 5-HT3 receptor antagonist. Palonosetron is superior to ondansetron in preventing delayed emesis following chemotherapy. Combination with dexamethasone, diazepam enhances the antiemetic efficacy. They are also effective in hyperemesis of pregnancy, postoperative post-radiative vomiting, drug-induced vomiting, and they are ineffective against motion sickness. I don't know why we are using ondansetron here finally. Maybe. Oh, chemotherapy. We are using isosorbide mononitrate, metoprolol, morphine sulfate. These many drugs we are using. So, this all chemotherapy may actually cause. I mean, they may cause. Is it even called chemotherapy? I don't know, but we are using ondansetron here. So, streptokinase is actually. Fibrinolytic. Nitroglycerin is then used. Let me see why streptokinase is used in this case. So it's a fibrinolytic. So what are the other fibrinolytics? Streptokinase, urokinase, altiplase. Streptokinase is derived from beta hemolytic streptococci and it binds to circulating plasminogen to form a complex that activates plasminogen to plasmin. Both circulating and fibrin bound plasminogen are activated, thus causing fibrinolysis. Streptokinase is actually antigenic, pyrogenic, and is destroyed by anti streptococcal antibodies, hence not suitable for repeated use, because once it is used as it is antigenic, it induces antibodies, and then on the repeated again use it may get destroyed. And then it's less expensive, but administered in IV infusion. Adverse effects are going to be bleeding, hypotension, allergic reactions. Urokinase is an enzyme obtained from the human kidney cell culture. So that's why it's known as urokinase. Directly activates plasminogen to plasmin, but it is non-antigenic and not destroyed by the antibodies. It's obtained IV. Bolus and then IV infusion. Bleeding can occur. Hypotension, allergic reactions are rare. Altiplase is not like enzyme produced by anything. It's produced from recombinant DNA technology. More effect on plasminogen that is bound to fibrin than circulating plasminogen. So bleeding tendencies are low. Altiplase also is non-antigenic, not destroyed by antibodies. Rapid acting, short half-life, more potent, more effective, expensive. Administered initially as IV bolus followed by IV infusion. So it's having lower risk of bleeding and allergic reactions. So these are the fibrinolytics or the thrombolytics. Its uses are in acute MI, also in the deep vein and deep vein thrombosis and in the pulmonary embolism. So here we are using streptokinase and then nitroglycerin, enoxaparin. Enoxaparin is actually a low molecular weight heparin. Enoxaparin, adriparin, all these are low molecular weight heparins. So next, aspirin is given bed rest. Did you understand what are the drugs we use in acute MI attack? First, you take isosorbate mononitrate in sublingual form, and then you give oxygen inhalation, and then you give metoprolol, and then morphine sulfate, ondansetron, and streptokinase, nitroglycerin, and then you give that low molecular weight heparin, enoxaparin. And then you give aspirin and bed rest. I will tell you other cases in the next podcast. Bye bye.